We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think we could make something fit. I do. I mean, without getting into how we would do it, I think there's ways we can make it fit. I'm looking forward to here real soon, hopefully in the next few weeks, finding out what this cap is going to be, or at least close to what it's going to be, so that we can start looking at some of our pending free agents. But there's ways that we can do it, and we'll have to be creative with it for sure based on our current cap situation, but I definitely think it can be done.
It was Bills GM Brandon Bean on with us last week when we were asking him if they could actually physically make a Josh Allen extension work this offseason with everything else that has to be done with a lower cap. Just a quick note before we get to Michael Jannetty. You heard Brandon mention that they were hoping to hear something soon about the cap, but it was Clark Hunt, the Kansas City Chiefs owner, told Sports Business Journal that they don't think the salary cap will be set anytime soon. There's still too many uncertainties. It could go closer to the league year before they actually have a cap number. That would be mid-March. On that note, let's go to the Western Hotline. We're going to bring in Michael Jannetty. Michael is the managing editor of a website called SpotTrack. Hopefully you're familiar with it. It is the go-to place for contract information. Absolutely fantastic. So if you're looking at some contracts or quarterbacks and go, gee, I wonder what Josh Allen can get. Hey, let me see what happened with Goff and Wentz and Watson and Russell Wilson, all the recent extensions, and Patrick Mahomes. That's where you go. Michael, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How you doing today?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So, I mean, let me go with the Bills cap situation. And I know it's kind of hard to answer all these questions, Michael, because nobody knows exactly what the cap number is going to be. It's going to be lower than where anybody thought it was going to be, but there's no exact number. What is the Bills cap situation right now?
They're about even. they're going to have to make moves to open up some space. There's no question about that. I mean, they're not flush with cap space heading into the current offseason, regardless of what that league salary cap number is. So whether that's restructures, whether that's releases or trades, there's going to be some movement this offseason to sort of take them to the next level.
Before we get into specifics, you can always create space, right? So at some point, you can always make things work. At some point down the road, I would think you'd have to still pay the bill for all of these moves. But no one should freak out over small or limited cap space, right?
No, absolutely. Especially not this time of year. I mean, if it's August and there's issues, that's a different story. But no, there's always ways to manipulate this thing. It's fluid. Look, Jared Goff and that gigantic contract just got traded. So there are crazier things to happen for sure.
Matt Milano, I want to ask you about some of the big free agents, Michael, and then we'll get to Josh Allen. Matt Milano would be number one on the list, I think, for most Bills fans. One of the things they do at SpotTrack is they do project contracts for upcoming free agents. What's the projection? What kind of money do you think it would take to keep Matt Milano this offseason?
Yeah, I know he had another injury, another setback, so that's another red flag on his resume, but I've still got him at about $14 million, you know, despite where this cap goes. So if you're talking 4 for $64 on Matt Milano, I'm getting less and less optimistic about him sticking around, unfortunately.
Because it's just, is it because you can't make everything fit?
Yeah, I just have positions that are higher priority for this team right now. Mm-hmm. So I've got him probably fourth on this list, and that's a big number if he's the fourth option.
Yeah. I was curious. One of the things I was wondering about, you know, they have the fifth-year option for Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. And, you know, maybe, you know, we think at some point down the road you're going to discuss about whether or not they extend Edmonds. Outside linebacker versus middle linebacker, is one a more valuable position typically when you look at contracts for NFL teams?
If they're an edge rusher, if they can get to the quarterback, that's when you see the dollar signs really start to raise. Mm-hmm. In Milano's case, it's kind of neutral with the inside linebacker core, although there's a couple of inside linebackers making $18 million right now, which I still don't understand. But generally speaking, you know, you're in the $14, $15, $16 million range right now with the non-rush edge linebacker and the inside linebacker. So it's about the same.
All right, yeah. And not that it would be as simple as pick one. Either you extend Milano, you extend Edmonds, you can't do both. But I was just wondering if that were the case, if you would read into it that one guy has a better shot of staying.
Edmonds has the longer future here. There's no question. So if you feel comfortable about that and you want to get him under contract in sync with Josh Allen, kind of the offensive and defensive captains of this team, I could absolutely see Brandon being taken that swing.
Okay, the offensive lineman, Michael, what are the numbers? Let's start with John Feliciano, who, you know, is a key part of the offensive line. Now, guard money, typically we wouldn't be talking as big as tackle money, but he also does have the ability to fill in at center. So what about Feliciano's value on the market?
Yeah, the guard money might get crazy this year, and also the right tackle money. So these are two big conversations to be having right now because I think both are about to take steps into the $17 million range in terms of the right side of the offensive line. I've honestly got both Feliciano and Darrell Williams, which I know you want to talk about as well, at about the $8 million mark. It's a big step up for Feliciano. It's about double his compensation. But, look, he's not 30. You know, he's 28. And like I said, that entire market is coming way, way up. So can you keep both at eight? Probably. Will they? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that you don't keep Darrell Williams and bookend your tackle situation and then go into the draft early in the draft for a stud guard.
How come the guard money is going up?
Quentin Nelson is about to just destroy this market. He's about to go $18 million as a guard. Then you've got Brandon Scherff in Washington and Joe Tooney in New England. Both should get gigantic contracts as well. So anytime you've got a couple of elite players on the top end of this thing, it's really going to drag all the prices up with it.
Man, $18 million for a guard? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that I don't think I would. I know he's good, and their offensive line is really good, and man, I would not want to pay a guard $18 million a year. Okay, so that's Feliciano and Williams. Josh Allen's contract. We had Brandon Bean on the show last week, Michael. We asked him if, you know, we know he doesn't negotiate in the media, so it was more like, could you even get a deal done? Let's say the both sides reach an agreement. Can you make it all fit? What kind of money? Let me start with this. If you look at recent contracts, how much of a blueprint is in place when you look at Wentz, Goff, Wilson, maybe not necessarily Mahomes, he got a 10-year deal, like Watson. I went to your site the other day and looked at all those guys. They're all 4-year extensions, and they're in that 32 to 39 per year ballpark.
Exactly, and I actually think that maybe it's a bigger step up from the Watson Goff Wentz situation, although I'm actually really happy that this Goff Wentz situation is happening right now preceding the Josh Allen contract, because there's a real discussion to have about structuring these contracts. Wentz's contract is structured in a way that is absolutely immobile, and as we just saw, Jared Goff was not. So I'm certain Brandon Bean is aware of how this stuff works, and you don't want to lock yourself into a bad situation if you're going to go deep with a quarterback contract. So something to be said there for sure. But I actually think there might be a mix of Patrick Mahomes and a mix of Jared Goff into this Josh Allen contract. And what I mean by that is I think this might be a very, very long-term contract. Like, so if he's got two years left, let's tack on 5-6 more and make 2021 and 2021 pretty much cap neutral so that the salary cap figures on the first 2 years barely move, which is basically what Patrick Mahomes has done in Kansas City. And then the real, real money, the real cap stuff kicks in about 2023 when everything should be back to normal with NFL finances. So I think there's something to be said about a longer deal than maybe I had anticipated last year because of the situation we're in.
Mike, do you think that regarding these quarterback contracts, you know, Goff and Wentz, one movable, one an anchor, but they were both given to young players, and at this point neither has kind of lived up to the contract. Do you subscribe to any school of thought about you don't have to rush? You could wait on the quarterback because the risk could be so big if it blows up in your face. And if it goes well, sure, the salary goes up, but you have more of a body of work to go off of. I mean, to make this decision 3 years in off of one really, really good year is, I mean, it's a gamble kind of no matter how you slice it. It's just an educated gamble, I suppose.
It's exactly right. You're kind of preaching to the choir there. I've been banging this drum for a while. Who's going to be the team that doesn't pay the quarterback at all, let alone early? You know what I mean? Who just rides out the 5-year contract and a couple of franchise tags and then turns it over to a new quarterback? Because that system is in place to work if it's possible. In terms of early, this is what I always come back to and why the gamble is generally worth it. Wouldn't you rather gamble on a 24-year-old than a 27-year-old in terms of big-time money and guaranteed dollars? I think that's just generally how they look at it. You know, you can say it's a good grace thing, and, you know, they may hold out in year five if they don't have the money. I think those days are gone, so there's not really much of a power play there in terms of when you have to sign these players. I just think it makes financial sense to put dollars in pockets at 24 and 25 years old versus, you know, getting closer to 30.
You know, the Mahomes contract, Michael, was really fascinating when I looked at it. I don't want to throw too many numbers out because it'll make people's head explode. But they loaded up roster bonuses. Like, his base salaries for 6 years, the next 6 years, he's making $16 million total in base salaries the next 6 years. So they looked at that and said, we got 10 years. We'll keep the base low, which keeps the cap a little bit lower. And then he has some really huge roster bonuses coming as the deal goes on, which is really, I mean, it's not like he's not going to be on the roster, so it's almost like guaranteed money for him anyway, and it helps the team out.
So that's exactly why the agent does it, because those are paid in March, not September 1st.
Right.
You want to make sure the guarantees lock in when the offseason starts so that there's absolutely no question about his status going forward. You want him to have the control, and that's what I've been banging on with that contract is it's player control. For every single year of that contract, he has the option. And because they're roster bonuses and not option bonuses or big-time signing bonuses, it's also a tradable contract, which we just saw with Jared Goff.
The other thing I want to ask you about, you know, you mentioned off the top, you know, creating cap space. Could be restructures, could be cap cuts. Who are the, as you look at the Bills picture, who are the prime candidates, if you will, for cap cuts?
Yeah, I've got a few. I mean, the one that may surprise the listeners the most would be John Brown. You know, the injuries have been piling up. He's getting a little up there in age, and I just think that's a replaceable position, whether it's in the middle of the draft or with a really strong free agent class that's coming. So you can save yourself about $8 million in cap right there, which I think is probably happening. And then I'd look to the defensive line. I think Vernon Butler is for sure out with almost $7 million saved. And Mario Addison is probably just too much of a role player to not take the $6 million in savings there. The one that I'm a little bit less, you know, I've seen this name around there a little bit, is Lee Smith. It's about $2 million to save to release Lee Smith. But I'm not sure you have the draft, the free agent capital this offseason to replace your blocking tight end when you really need an upgrade with all of your tight ends, another wide receiver, the right side of your offensive line.
Yeah,
you know, the needs kind of pile up, and I'm just wondering if that's something you keep on the roster.
What about Morse? If you were to go and extend, if you could reach an agreement with Feliciano, and you mentioned, you know, the guard market's going up, and maybe he gets eight or so, could a byproduct of that be, they don't save a ton of money from Morse, but moving on from that contract to create a little more space, knowing you could move Feliciano over to center?
It's a great point. It's something I've thought about myself, especially with Morse's injury issues as well. I actually think they might go the exact opposite direction, Howard, and actually extend him.
Extend Morse.
And lower that cap this year and give yourself a couple more years. You don't want to mess too much with the quarterback center situation if it's working, and I think that has worked. And I think Morse is also kind of the the stabilizer on that offensive line to some degree. So it's probably a little bit better business to just push some of that cap down the road, give him a little signing bonus and extend him for a couple of years.
Mike, I want to ask you about the running back conversation, if we can, and the draft for that, and the draft for that matter. You know, it's a big conversation in town. It will be for this team, and you know, the evolution of the running back position has gone from bell cow, don't pay the guy, don't draft the guy high. I wonder what you think about first round picks in the early part of the first round versus first round picks in the late stage. I'm not saying I want them to take a running back with their first round pick, just that we saw the Chiefs do it. We saw New England do it also. And successful teams have used the end of the first round a little differently. Do you see a market efficiency there or some sort of difference? Because the fourth to fifth year option at the end of the first round for the money you spend there and the way that it slots in, do you feel like it's any different for that conversation than it is maybe if you're picking top 10, top 15?
There's no question. And not only is it how much the contract costs, but it's also just straight value. I mean, the second Saquon Barkley was drafted, number two overall, he was like the fourth highest average paid running back in the league. So, you know, those days are gone for me, unless you've got an absolute wild card, you know, Christian McCaffrey type, a dead set running back that may sneak back into the top 10. But yeah, you're looking at 29 through 32 as extremely good value because of that fifth option, because they are going to start to take that model that I laid out for the quarterback a couple of minutes ago, where 4 years plus a fifth-year option plus a franchise tag, that's going to be a running back career. I mean, that's where you are right now if you're going to length out a running back on your franchise. So I expect Tampa Bay to be in that market this coming offseason in terms of the 31st or 32nd pick. You know, there's 3-4 running backs who are worth sneaking back in for. I expect them to be in the market for somebody like that.
And do you think that it's another thing that teams might start to do is, you know, we've talked about positions and how guards are going up. At the end of the first round might be, more than anything, a spot where you're looking for, I mean, I want to get positions that have really quickly climbing salaries because I can keep them, I guess keep them low for so long. You know, each position has its own value, and I would think that would work the same way with 4-year contracts and 5th-year options.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the cost control value gets better and better every year. If you've got, you know, somebody on a $1.5 million salary where the rest of his position is making 19, you know, we can talk about the guard there. If the Bills end up drafting a guard, you know, late in the first round, and they've got him under control for 5 years, whereas Clinton Nelson cashes in a gigantic $18 million contract, yeah, that's exactly where you want to be. So you're right. Importance of position matters, but you're going to have incredible value no matter where you're drafting late in that first round.
It's a great site, folks. SpotTrack is where you want to go, and it's got everything you need to know about contracts, and maybe we're afraid to ask. Michael's the managing editor of SpotTrack and joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Thanks, Michael. Thanks. Appreciate you giving us some time. Thanks for all the number crunching.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.